We ask, Holy Spirit, that even as we enter into your word, that the entrance of your word will give light and understanding in the mighty name of Jesus, that your word will illuminate our lives and we'll be a better people for it in Jesus' name. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Teach us from your word yourself, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. For about a month, I think the Holy Spirit has been impressing on my mind to share or to do a series. And I thought to myself, I was like, I'm sure we've done this before. So I went back and I checked my notes. And I realized that I think it was 4.5 years ago, we actually did a series looking at the book of James. We looked at the book of James and looked at perfection in Christ, a study of the book of James. But what the Holy Spirit has been laying on my heart is not perfection, but living faith. Praise the Lord. You know, what is faith? The substance of things hoped for, Hebrews 11:1. The evidence of things not seen. The evidence of the unseen. The substance of things we're hoping for. I know that one of my sisters, she's always telling us about how there is saving faith and living faith. And she looked up and smiled about how there's saving faith and living faith. So it's one thing to have faith that brings salvation. But then once, and thank God for the service we had this morning in Sunday school. So once you've received salvation, once you've confessed your sin, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. What then? What then? I always say that as a church, you know, the Bible says God is spirit, and those that must worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. I believe that God has called us as a church, as a people, to be true worshipers. And I know for a fact that as a people, we worship God in truth and in spirit. But does it stop there? Or should it stop there? No. So we're going to be looking at living faith over the next few weeks. We'll be looking at living faith, exposition on the book of James. And today I'll just share a few things from the first chapter. So can we look at James chapter 1? Excuse me. James chapter 1. I read. It says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Verse 9. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, it will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and received with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's so many wonderful verses in that chapter alone. James is a wonderful book. But there's so many wonderful verses in that chapter alone that, you know, I'll encourage us to go back and study it for ourselves. But talking about living faith, yes, we are saved by grace. Bible says that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not about what we do. So we cannot brag. There's no bragging rights. You know, I've been born again for the past 60 years. I've done this, I've done that. It says it's not of works. We are saved by grace. But I say again, do we then stop there? No, we do not. We've been saved by grace. What then should be the next step? So that there's a theme that runs throughout the book of James, and it's one that deals with both perfection and the coming to full Christian maturity. So as Christians, some of us, yes, we were born into the fold. We've come to have a personal encounter with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at some point. For some of us, it was like 50 years ago. For some of us, it was like 30 years ago. For some of us, it might have been 10 years ago. For some of us, it might have been a few years ago. For some of us, it might even be more recent than that. It's not about the length of time. How are we walking with him? A few things that stand out about faith in chapter 1. We need to realize that irrespective of the length of our relationship or our walk with God, our faith will be tested. Faith will be tested. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So there's some things you're hoping for that you're holding on to. There's some things that you've not seen, but you know that they are because you have faith. There will come times when those, you know, that conviction will be tested. So we see in verse 3, it says, knowing that the testing of your faith, your faith will be tested. But yes, so faith will be tested, but it should lead to patience. The testing of your faith should lead to patience. Praise the Lord. Your faith will be tested, but in the midst of that test, trust God. Trust God. Hold on to Him. Be patient. Say to your neighbor, be patient. Be patient. The Bible says He makes all things beautiful in His time. He makes all things beautiful in His time. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. God hasn't forgotten you. He knows what you might be going through. He knows where you're at. He knows those things that are trying your faith, that are making you feel, is it worth it? Should I continue? Be patient. Says the testing of your faith produces patience. And verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work. Some versions say, let patience have its full work. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And that's the second thing about faith. Say, faith requires full expression if we're to be complete. If you're going to be complete in Christ, faith requires a full expression. It says, let your faith, your patience have its perfect work, its full work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So your faith will be tested. Be patient. The testing of your faith produces patience that will ensure that you're complete at the end of it all. Amen. Another thing that we notice in the book of James about faith is actually that anger is a faith killer. Anger is a faith killer. Anger kills faith, but essentially. I'll just take us to verse 19. Verse 19 says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Thank God for, I think it was a few weeks ago now, that we were looking at anger and forgiveness. And we're made to understand that, as the Bible says, that you shouldn't, you know, that be angry and do not sin. And do not let the sun go down on your anger. And we looked at the implications of anger and how it could impact our dispositions. I remember sharing and saying that, you know, sometimes people get so angry that a couple of gentlemen were exchanging emails, and I was copied into this email because I'm their line manager. And they were firing the emails back and forth, and I saw it escalating, and it was getting really bad. And I was thinking to myself, I know A is a really nice guy. I know B is a really nice guy. A simple misunderstanding And they were using all manners of words, bullying, calling me a liar, doing this, doing that. And I was thinking to myself, if I call both of you and say, let's talk, you'll be, think about any scenario you can imagine. Two people that maybe had a quarrel or a fight, even that comes to a physical fight. And you now say, let's have a dialogue. Call the two people. So what happened? He will say his piece. Really, what happened? He will say his piece. And then you'll find that in the process of dialogue, one of them will say, oh, but that was not how you said it. And the other one will say, but that's not what I meant. And then we start understanding each other. And the fight that led to, you know, exchanging physical punches, like, oh, but I didn't mean it that way. When I said this, this was what I was trying to say. And everything starts making sense. And we start seeing each other's point of view. Conflicts. Sometimes, you know, what causes conflicts? If you don't resolve those things, after a while, you just find that every time you see that person, in fact, the kind of things that are going through your mind, man, the Lord is holy. He is holy. But, you know, some things you think about, I wish that guy would just jump off a cliff. You may not mean it, but those are the kinds of things you're saying. Say, go jump off a cliff. Why would you say someone should jump off a cliff? If they jump off a cliff, what's going to happen? They die. If they're not born again, and if they're not born again and they die, what happens? They go to hell. Don't be the one that will cause someone to miss it. Praise the Lord. Say that anger is a faith killer. Because even for you as a person, there was a young man, he's graduated now. He was meant to have exams. I'm just talking about anger now. He was meant to have exams, and someone provoked him. And he got so angry, he didn't want to punch the person. He didn't want to punch him. And the next thing, boom, punched the wall. Yes, at least he didn't want to injure another human being. So he didn't punch the person. But he punched the wall. And the outcome of that was that his hand got fractured. His right-handed. He had exams. He couldn't do exams. Anger. The person that provoked him did the exam. Yes, graduated. It was even final year. The person that caused the provocation did exam. The person that was provoked could not do exam. I pray that God will help us to deal with anger. That anger wouldn't fester in us. Say that it's a faith killer. It's a faith killer. It hinders our faith. Because anger clouds the mind. It clouds the judgment, the senses. When you should be thinking right, when you should be focusing on God, when you should be trusting God for certain things, because you're getting angry with so many other people, you lose sight of what should be your true focus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, you lose sight of your focus and you're thinking about those things that person has done or those people, what they've done, that's really upsetting you and making you angry, and you're festering on it. It says, be slow to wrath. Verse 20, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And if we look at Romans 1:17 says that, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, Romans 1:17, the just, the righteous shall live by faith. God's righteousness is revealed through our faith. But anger hinders that. Wrath. It says, wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So man's wrath, man's anger, will not allow God's righteousness to manifest. Amen. The third point I want to touch on is pretty much in the last couple of verses. It says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And I say that our religion, and if you think about it, our religion and invariably our faith is manifested in what we say and in what we do. So your faith, your religion is manifested through what you say and what you do. It is not just about how you worship. So yes, you worship the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You love the Lord your God. But it doesn't stop there. What you profess, I love you, Lord. I give my all to you. I will serve you till the end of time. That needs to manifest in what you do. So yes, we keep hearing the word. You know what James said there? He says some people, they're like folks that look at themselves in the mirror. And once they look at themselves, immediately they turn away from the mirror. They forget what they look like. They forget their substance. And he says those who hear the word and don't do it, that's how they're like. So you hear the word day in, day out. You listen to the messages. In fact, there's some people, the amount of messages they've listened to, wow. The amount of books they've read, wow. But you have to ask yourself, with all that, some of us, we haven't even read Jack. God will help us. At least they're reading. But some of us, we haven't even read. We don't listen. We don't do anything. But it's not enough for you to listen and read and read and read. What are you doing with what you're reading? Talking about living faith. How are you living your faith? How are you manifesting your faith in the things you do? It's all well and good that you come on Wednesdays, on Fridays, on Sundays, you worship the Lord. Okay, so what happens on Tuesday? What happens on Thursday? What happens on Saturday? What happens on Monday? What happens when you're at school? What happens in your workplace? What happens in your neighborhood? What kind of reputation do you have as a child of God? Are you living your faith? The profession you make every time you're in the presence of the Lord. When others see you, are you living that faith? Through the things you say, through the things you do, do people see Christ in you? And we say Christ in us. Christ in us. Aha. Christ in us, the hope of glory. But are people seeing that Christ being manifested? I'll end on this note. I remember a brother sharing with us once, and he was an elder in the church, and he said this happened before he became born again. It's a story I've shared before. And he went to a supermarket, and as he was about to park, some man, you know, there was only one car space left. And this guy saw him trying to maneuver. You know, some of us were very sharp. And I use the word sharp in a Nigerian sense. We're very sharp. So he was trying to maneuver. And this other man just, put a fast one and reverse parked. Now, this man that did the fast maneuver had a sticker. You know, one of those, Jesus is the... So the man now got down. And he saw the sticker. You know, some of us, we have fishes on our car. And we have all sorts. that we symbolize that we're Christians. We put out, and my wife used to wear one band that has a fish and a John 3:16. And everybody sees that band, and you know the person's a Christian. But beyond that band, now if you're wearing a band, how many of us, Baba used to have a lot on, he still does. Baba still has one. How many of us wear those Christian type bands? Okay, my wife, mama, anyone else? You guys are, the Lord will help all of you. Huh? It's, God will help you. You both of you removed your Kenya band. Huh? See, okay, maybe you should start wearing it. Maybe that will even help you. So, this guy now had the sticker, and the man went to meet, and I was like, you know what? I like your sticker, but I don't like your style. Now, imagine, how would you go and preach to that kind of person? You've yapped them, you've said all sorts, and then the next day you're in town evangelizing in at work. You don't take nonsense, you don't do jack, and then they see you at the city center evangelizing. You know, my brother, my sister, you need to be born again, you need to. Which mouth are you going to use to say it? I don't take nonsense from any man in one place. My wife and I, we were talking about this recently, and we said possibly the reason this happens is because a lot of us, we compartmentalize, we segment our lives in such a way that the life we live in church is different from the life we live at home. It's different from the life we live in school. It's different from the life we live at work. So the person they see at work is not the one that is in church worshiping. But living faith needs to be at all times, in all places. Not just hearing the word, but doing the word. By the grace of God, we're going to look into more details as we look through the book of James. What should we do? How should we live our faith? Your faith should be evident. It should be visible for all to see. I don't know where you're at right now in your relationship with God, but take this as a challenge. Take it as a challenge. If you're vast in the word, beyond the word you know, what are you doing with the word you know? If you're yet to be vast in the word, take it as a challenge that you want to know the word of God the more. You want to hear the word of God the more, but not just hear it. I want to do it the more. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Shall we just say a word of prayer? You know, just pray for yourself this afternoon. We've talked about living faith. It's not just enough to be saved. We've said that your faith will be tested, but be patient. Be patient because the testing of your faith leads to patience. And when patience has its full work, you will be a complete person. Don't let anger control you. Don't let anger consume you. Because anger will kill your faith. It will douse your faith. Anger clouds the mind. It clouds the senses. It clouds judgment. Says the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Anger will limit God's full manifestation. And yet we know that the righteousness of God is revealed in faith. We've said that our faith should be manifested in what we say and do. Pray for yourself that the Lord will help you to be a man, to be a woman, to be a child that not only hears the word, but practices it, does it, so that you won't be like that person that sees themselves in the mirror and turns away and forgets what they look like. So that you won't just remember that you're a child of God on Sunday, that you're a Christian on Sunday, and once you leave church, you forget what you look like, what you're meant to look like. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.